think it's been 10 years since I started a blog, maybe longer, 20 years. A blog called The Spring of My Soul, and I think it's time to bring that back. Not the blog, but the idea, The Spring of My Soul. I think that blog came out of a season maybe very similar to the one I'm in now, and many of us find ourselves in. One of longing to come out of a deep, horrifying winter, a deadly winter, as I think it's been called, of this pandemic, of this virus, of all that's wrong with the world. And to make the mental decision to come out of that. And yes, it helps that it's spring. It's April here, April 9th, 2021, here in the Los Angeles, California area in Long Beach, although right now I'm actually in Bellflower, California. But to make the conscious choice to move into spring, is life going to be perfect in a few months this year, next year? I don't know. None of us knows. But I know for me, and I'm sure for you, I am tired of this deadly winter. This deadly winter has brought in me a ton of anxiety, mental fog, fears, concerns. My stomach is still upside down, but it's getting better. I have sought counsel. I have overworked. I have overrun from things. I have hardly exercised. I have eaten too much. Gained, I don't know, 10, 15 pounds. And felt disconnected from my life because of this. And it's not just the last 12 months. I would say it's been the last maybe 24 months, as many of us empaths have been seeing this or feeling this coming. I must always give credit to my friend Cliff Ravenscraft, whose audio journal and podcast is a guiding light for me to never give up in terms of creating content and documenting my process. As you may have noticed, I haven't created any podcast in a year, maybe not quite, but even the one I just put out yesterday was alive. But this is the first actual podcast that I've recorded in a long time, and it came because I was hearing Cliff and I just felt my heart be ready. It's been a deadly winter. Thankfully, no one in my family got sick, but man, we had some scares, like most people. Unless maybe you didn't experience any scares, but yeah, I had friends, family that got the virus, that almost died, that went through this horrible thing. No one very close to me, but definitely friends and people that I really care for and care about. The panic has been super high. As I said, my anxiety has been through the roof, maybe the worst it's been in 10 years. And yeah, my brain fog has been all over the place, thinking I have Alzheimer's, thinking I can't remember anything. And then my anxiety kicks in, and just all those things are getting better. I don't have Alzheimer's. My mind is fine. But that fog, or those fears, are strong. So last month I got a bike, and so I've gone out bike riding a few times. Although here in the Long Beach area, as in most urban areas, it's so hard to go bike riding. We used to live in Colorado, and wow, do I miss those days of just getting on my bike and literally being in the mountains in 2-3 minutes. So it's a little bit more of an effort to do that here, but I got that going. I also moved my studio, speaking of podcasting, to my church, where I feel just at home once again. And that church journey is its own thing that maybe one day we'll get into. But I feel at home once again at my church, which wasn't the case even last year, the last few years. But by the grace of God, I'm here recording in my brand new studio, which I'm really thankful for. I've reached out to some friends, not only therapists and coaches, but also just friends that love podcasting and music and tech, a couple of young guys, a couple of guys my age, and it's been really fun. I've been recording my music once again, or finishing my songs, and that's part of why I moved the studio here, is hopefully to have some people help me finish this project that I'm really excited about. I might call it Spring of My Soul, I don't know, but perhaps there are still a few songs that need to be written. I think the biggest thing is just the need to move forward. I did a conference years ago called 2013 called Finding Grace Through Anxiety. And that's the challenge to all of us that are empaths and feelers, is the grace that we long for, the joy, the gozo, I don't have my gozo bell here, is only found as we go through crises, anxiety, fear, depression, frustrations, whatever your crisis is or has been these last 12 months, a financial crisis, a doubt crisis. Maybe you are fine, but your son, your daughter, your grandkids have experienced this deep, dark winter. And so it affects you. And you're tested, your faith is tested, and you feel all over the place, and you wonder, where is God? And you know He's good, and you're a person of faith, you love Jesus, but you are human. And you often say, my God, why have you forsaken me? But I think that the place I find myself in today is a decision. I was listening to my other coach, who's great, from the Life Coaching Podcast, Brooke Castillo. Shout out to her as well. Another one of my saviors, I would say, these last 12 months, along with Cliff. And she talks about the mental choice you have to make, and the model, as she calls it. Circumstances create thoughts. Thoughts create feelings. Feelings create actions, and actions have results. And so for the last 12, 24 months, my circumstances, like for you and for me, have been horrible. My thoughts, though, it's what I haven't controlled, or I've had a hard time controlling. I give myself tons of grace, no judgment here. Do not judge yourself for not being perfect these last 12 months, 24 months, or maybe even longer. No matter what your results have been, you lost your house, you did get sick, you lost a loved one, you went through a divorce, you had a child that out of wedlock, or maybe you're a single mom that had another child with another man. And those are maybe the extremes, but perhaps your parents went through an illness, your husband went through a challenging time, you lost your job, you had to move. Whatever you went through, don't judge yourself. We have to be men and women who offer grace. I need to work out. As I said, I've gained a bunch of weight and got my bike, and I'm just giving myself a ton of grace. So yeah, I ate pizza last night still at 11:30 with my wife, but it's getting better. And I haven't done that as often these last few weeks, so shout out to that, right? By the way, I'm going to take a little drink of water here. It is kind of dry today, although it's only 68, but it is more of a dry day, so excuse me here. I'm not going to edit that out of the podcast, because that's just what I'm doing, just drinking some water. So I need to work out, and it's not the guilt thing of I need to, oh my goodness, I'm so fat, although I do feel that way, but it's more of the spring of my soul. It is well with my soul. Is it? I don't know if it is. At times it doesn't feel like it is, but it's a choice. Back to Brooke Castillo, she says that all the actions, all the thoughts are things that we have to keep practicing. We have to keep practicing and discipline ourselves to think the right thoughts. Instead of thinking that my brain is lost, or that I can't focus, or that I can't handle, I don't know, someone sneezing next to me. Instead, I am learning to train myself to think that I'm fine and that nothing is wrong. And that takes a ton of practice, is what I've discovered. And honestly, I'm not very disciplined on things that I don't really want to do, I guess, like most of us. If it's a project that I want to get into, that I love, that I want, then of course I'm super focused. But if it's something that I have to do because of X, Y, and Z, such as thinking happy thoughts, positive thoughts, changing my mind, believing God, what He says in His Word, I just don't want to discipline myself. And so I pay the consequences. And that's what we go through. That's what happens to us. We pay the price because we don't want to discipline ourselves. And those are the things that I want to change. I want to change my body as I did in the past. I want to finish my master's and go on to my doctorate as I've done in the past. I want to keep focusing on my church and grow it, not just in numbers, although I think that's part of my calling, but in health and discipleship and disciple making, mostly in healing people as we come out of this dark night of the soul, as we come out of this deep, deadly winter, as President Biden did. I'm so glad Trump is gone. I'm so glad Biden is here. I'm so glad I got vaccinated and millions of us have been. I'm so glad that it's spring. I'm so glad that we're hopefully finishing this pandemic. I'm thankful that my mom and my sisters were healthy and my wife is amazing, gorgeous. I love her with my whole life. I love that our three children are healthy and that Daisy the dog and Rosie the bunny are doing just fine. God has been faithful, but it's important to document the journey. It's important to document the ups and downs. And I think the older that we get, or I get, maybe it's generational, we hide. And I've definitely been tempted, and I have been hiding my process, especially the low times, from this podcast. And some of it has just been a lack of energy, and just when you're afraid for your life, you're not going to want to record anything. And I've been doing a lot of live, so that's where my mind has been focused. And of course, as I said, I've also been doing a lot of music, but I know that I haven't been ready to document anything, especially the tough times. And I wish I had to some degree. And that's what Cliff was saying today, is the importance of documenting everything. And he was talking about when he lost, I don't know, $50,000 or something, and at a conference that didn't happen. And he documented the whole thing. And he said, you can go back and listen to how I thought I was going to make, $300,000. And instead, I lost $30,000. And it's all there. And he's right. I wish I had documented how I was feeling, because it's my story and people can learn from it. And so I'm hoping to do that now. I'm still, at times, I still get nervous and anxious over things and this and that. And there are times when I feel like I'm going down and I can't do anything. And other times I feel amazing and I'm filled with hope. And that's okay. And I'm thankful for the journey, for you, for the process. Of course, I'm filled with hope because Jesus is my hope. But my thoughts, as I wrote a long time ago, get in the way. And that's what happens to a lot of us that are empaths and feelers and overthinkers and those in the heart triad. We can tend to overthink. That's a gift and a curse, because we focus when it's something great. But when it's a negative thought, then it's hard for us to get out of that spin cycle, out of that brain lock that tends to happen. But I'm undoing it. I want to be an example to you, as I'm sure you also have been going through things. And maybe you've been just unwilling, or it's just been hard to admit that to yourself, that you've been in the gutter, that you've been maybe not in the gutter, but you've definitely been in and out of the shower. I guess that's another way to put it, which, by the way, is something that I'm working on, just taking showers and self-hygiene. I mean, just these normal things that are so important. Brooke Castillo was talking about that. And I love it when people that are professionals in their 40s and 50s that are successful, yes, talk about taking showers and about walking their dogs once again and about needing to exercise, because that's my life. That's your life. We're not all on Instagram making millions of dollars posting our amazing bikini shots or whatever is happening these days with our perfect bodies and beautiful homes. Most of us are barely getting by, but here we are, right? Because of Jesus. I've preached all 52 weeks since last April, every Sunday pretty much. I think I skipped once because I was so in the gutter, but that's one Sunday out of 52 Sundays that I have not skipped, that I have preached faithfully from the beginning, the text of the Bible, faithfully about Jesus, in two languages, really over 100 sermons, because I preach twice every Sunday in Spanish and English, plus leading worship every week, except for the last few weeks or so. 8 songs every Sunday in Spanish and English, 4 in Spanish, 4 in English, plus leading my church and figuring out how to pay the bills, and you name it. Going to Oregon, even though I was so scared to travel in an airplane in December. And yet going up there to love my wife and to be with her mom and to be strong, even though everything in me wanted to just have a heart attack or throw up, which I also did a few times last year, just out of pure anxiety and nerves. But I went to Oregon, and I'm here recording this podcast, and I moved my studio, and I'm finishing songs, and I bought a bike and went out twice, and I've been dating my wife at home once again, and we mowed the lawn yesterday, and I've been, as I said, just faithful and leading my church and my staff and creating content and helping people and being there as much as I can for others, and most of all, just keeping myself alive, keeping myself focused, just simply being focused, just simply learning to be me, and to not give in to fear or to wanting to make everyone happy. That's maybe another thing that I've been learning that I hope to be more of, and that's to be myself, to not be afraid to say that I'm glad Trump lost. It's not about politics. It's about my values of love and grace and of compassion. And I'm also glad to say that I love diversity. I don't want an all-white, all-black, all-brown church. I want a diverse church. To be proud that I love technology and media, and that I love mentoring young people, and that I want a young church so I can mentor them, because that's when I was changed by mentors, by music, through the Holy Spirit, through worship. To not be shy that I want a powerfully worshiping, or a powerful worshiping church that has amazing production, and that I want to spend quote unquote thousands on beautiful music because I'm a musician and I love beautiful music. To not be shy to say that I love preaching the Bible and that I love the Word of God, that I love disciple making, and also to say that I'm not very good at administration, at budgets and meetings and policies and operations and systems and details and the day-to-day, and to look for people that can truly love, that love those areas, that can help and that can lead us in those areas that I'm weak. I love discipleship, but I don't want to be a disciple maker pastor per se. I want to hire someone. I love caring for people and the seniors, but I'm not the care minister. I am a visionary, passionate leader, go-getter, futurist. And I want to lead out of my gifts and not out of my head of the things I think I am, out of the deception of wanting to be everything to somehow, quote, stay in the country. And to just simply know that it's okay to be me, and that it's actually beautiful, because that's who God wants. He loves you as you are, not as you should be. That's what Brendan Manning said. And that's something that I struggle with. Does God really love me as I am? All the skills that I don't have, all the character issues that I carry? And yes, the answer is yes. He loves me and you as you are, not as you should be. Professionally, at home, with your kids, if you're a single person, whatever decisions you've made that weren't the perfect decisions, whatever plans you have, whatever things you want that you don't think are good, God loves you as you are, not as you should be. He put love in you. He put his spirit in you. And that's his Holy Spirit. And the things that we don't need, that aren't healthy for us, then you and I get rid of those things. We resist the devil and he will flee from us. But it doesn't mean that we hate ourselves or that we say to ourselves, oh, I'm so terrible. We believe that God made us as we are and that he loves us. And he knows that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. He knows our soul. He knows us very well. He knows us. He knows that we are but dust. He knows that we're weak. And it's his word that lasts forever, not our flesh. Our flesh will die, but as Job said, my Redeemer lives, and in the end, I will see the Lord. I will see God. I am a sharp individual with an amazing mind, an amazing leader that is learning how to lead better, how to collaborate, how to lean on others, how to ask for help, how to develop systems, how to get people involved, and not to just do it all myself. A lot of things that I'm still learning. And I'm excited because I believe I have 20, 30 more years of amazing life and ministry. And most of all, I want to love my wife, be faithful to her, lift her up when she's down, encourage her in her gifts and calling, be one with my lovely wife. And then as much as we still have time and they're still at home, to raise our children, 22, 20, and 18, our three amazing young adults, to keep coaching them and counseling them and caring for them as much as they need. And yes, grandkids one day, absolutely, sign me up. Well, I hope to continue to document the journey called The Spring of My Soul, my dear friends. Come alongside, subscribe to this podcast, give me a 5-star review in iTunes. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next time.